than of the man himself or of when he wrote the 13 chapters. Some ascribe them to approximately 500 BC in the Kingdom of Wu, some to approximately 300 BC. About 100 BC, one of his chroniclers, Su Ma Qian, gives this biography. Sun Tzu, whose personal name was Wu, was a native of the Qi state. His art of war brought him to the notice of Ho Lu, king of Wu. Ho Lu said to him, "I have carefully perused your 13 chapters. May I submit your theory of managing soldiers to a slight test?" Sun Tzu replied, "You may." The king asked, "May the test be applied to women?" The answer was again in the affirmative, so arrangements were made to bring 180 ladies out of the palace. Sun Tzu divided them into two companies and placed one of the king's favourite concubines at the head of each. He then made them all take spears in their hands and addressed them thus. "I presume you know the difference between front and back, right hand and left hand?" The girls replied, "Yes." Sun Tzu went on, "When I say eyes front, you must look straight ahead. When I say left turn, you must face toward your left hand. When I say right turn, you must face toward your right hand. When I say about turn, you must face right around toward the back." Again, the girls assented. The words of command having been thus explained, he set up the halberds and battle axes in order to begin the drill. Then, to the sound of drums, he gave the order, "Right turn." But the girls only burst out laughing. Sun Tzu said patiently, "If words of command are not clear and distinct, if orders are not thoroughly understood, then the general is to blame." He started drilling them again, and this time gave the order, "Left turn." Whereupon the girls once more burst into fits of laughter. Then he said, "If words of command are not clear and distinct, if orders are not thoroughly understood, the general is to blame. But if his orders are clear, and the soldiers nevertheless disobey, then it is the fault of their officers." So saying, he ordered the leaders of the two companies to be beheaded. Now the king of Wu was watching from the top of a raised pavilion, and when he saw that his favourite concubines were about to be executed, he was greatly alarmed and hurriedly sent down the following message. "We are now quite satisfied as to our general's ability to handle troops. If we are bereft of these two concubines, our meat and drink will lose their savour. It is our wish that they shall not be beheaded." Sun Tzu replied even more patiently, "Having once received His Majesty's commission to be general of his forces, there are certain commands of His Majesty which, acting in that capacity, I am unable to accept." Accordingly, and immediately, he had the two leaders beheaded, and straightaway installed the pair next in order as leaders in their place. When this had been done, the drum was sounded for the drill once more. The girls went through all the evolutions, turning to the right or to the left, marching ahead or wheeling about, kneeling or standing with perfect accuracy and precision, not venturing to utter a sound. Then Sun Tzu sent a messenger to the king, saying, "Your soldiers, sire, are now properly drilled and disciplined and ready for your majesty's inspection. They can be put to any use that their sovereign may desire. Bid them go through fire and water, and they will not now disobey." But the king replied, "Let our general cease drilling and return to camp. As for us, we have no wish to come down and inspect the troops." Thereupon Sun Tzu said calmly, "The king is only fond of words and cannot translate them into deeds." After that, the king of Wu saw that Sun Tzu was one who knew how to handle an army and appointed him general. In the west, Sun Tzu defeated the Chu state and forced his way into Ying, the capital. To the north, he put fear into the states of Qi and Qin, and spread his fame abroad among the feudal princes, and Sun Tzu shared in the might of the kingdom. So Sun Tzu became a general for the king of Wu. For almost two decades, the armies of Wu were victorious over their hereditary enemies, the kingdom of Yue and Chu. Sometime within this period, Sun Tzu died, and his patron, the king of Wu, was killed in a battle. For a few years, his descendants followed the precepts of Sun Tzu and continued to be victorious. And then they forgot. In 473 BC, the armies of Wu were defeated, and the kingdom made extinct. In 1782, the art of war was first translated into French by a Jesuit, Father Amyot. There is a legend that this little book was Napoleon's key to success and his secret weapon. Certainly his battles depended upon mobility,